Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The South Pacific, Australia facing an election, and it turns on a story that I require help, Cleo Pascal of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to tell, because it's about an island chain called the Solomons. Inside the Solomons is a very famous island, Guadalcanal. However, that was then, the 20th century, and the war to retake the Pacific from the Japanese Imperial Navy. This is now, in the 21st century, and the peer competition of the People's Republic of China has made a very important decision to move on the Solomon Islands. It affects everything, including this. Australia Prime Minister Morrison trails in poll amid criticism over handling of China's Solomons deal. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison is struggling to close the gap, reads Reuters out of Sydney, with the main opposition ahead of an upcoming general election, a poll showed on Tuesday, amid criticism over his handling of a security pact between China and the Solomon Islands. Cleo, a very good day to you. Thank you very much. You introduced this story to me, not about Scott Morrison, but about a man's health, a leader in one of the islands called the Solomons, who needed medical attention that was not available in the Solomons, and he was offered that medical attention in Taipei, in Taiwan. He received it. We wish him good health. How did that begin, this trail that now leads to a crisis, not only in Canberra, but also in Washington and in Tokyo, indeed in Delhi, throughout the region of the Indo-Pacific? Good day to you, Cleo.
Good day. Thank you for covering this story for such a long time now. It's been this particular situation with Daniel Sudani, who's the premier of Malaita province. Malaita is the most populous province in the Solomon Islands. It's, the Solomons as a whole has a population of about 600,000, and it's spread over hundreds of islands that form a kind of almost archipelago. And if you add it to other islands like Vanuatu and Papua New Guinea and New Caledonia, it creates this arch off of the northeast coast of Australia going around to the northwest. So kind of hems in Australia. And so, yes, the century is new, but the geography is the same. And so if you're looking at these maps from World War II, you can understand why Japan thought it was essential to control these islands. And one of the big islands, the most populous islands within the Solomons, is Malaita. And the premier of Malaita is this man called Daniel Sudani, who, when the country of the Solomon Islands switched from Taiwan to China through a unilateral declaration by the current prime minister, Prime Minister Sabavari, in 2019, he said, we don't want our province to have any dealings with the businesses of the Chinese Communist Party. And he issued this communique in late 2019, the Aoki communique. Aoki is the capital, saying that. And he was very clear about why. And one of the reasons why was because he said that they believe in freedom of religion. And in fact, they're quite devout Christians. And that the Chinese Communist Party is systemically atheist, and they didn't want to deal with a country that that was like that, and that it wasn't in there, but the subtext was that suppressed people of faith, including Christians and things. So his objection to the switch, part of it was a very deeply held moral position. So what that meant was when he got sick, the central government led by Prime Minister Sogavari, this corrupt pro-PRC guy, thought, great, we've got this guy who's opposed to us, who's sick, and maybe he won't make it. We're not going to facilitate him getting any medical care. And this was really caught my attention, not just me, but several other people, because this was a very clear exporting of China's social credit system, where if you're not with the party, you can die, quite literally. You know, and within China, it's much more difficult to get medical care, to travel, to do all this sort of stuff if you're against the Chinese Communist Party. And here was a case where we saw it very clearly happening in another country. And what was particularly disappointing was what he needed, at least initially, was an MRI, and there was no MRI machine in the country. And Australia wouldn't help him. And this is where you start to see all of the things that have now blown up into this larger issue come together. They said, sure, if you want medical care, you could come to Australia. It'll cost you $100,000. We'll give you the visa, but we're not going to help you. This is the premier of a major province who is pro-democracy, pro-freedom of religion, anti-Chinese Communist Party. And, you know, as we're seeing now, Australia is saying, oh, we'll throw $160 million or whatever it is at the Solomons, but they wouldn't help the key people involved in fighting for that on the front line. And so, as you mentioned, what happened was other people started to hear about the situation, the Sudanese situation. And the government of the Solomons then said to Sudani, okay, look, if you accept China, then we'll give you the money for the medical care. And he said no. So that made him one of the few people I can point to outside of China. Of course, this happens to a lot of people in China, but outside China who could say, I would rather die than take Chinese money. This is a true hero. There's a man of principle and moral courage. And Australia didn't help him. But as you said, what happened was via friends in India who also care about democracy, the office of President Tsai in Taiwan heard about it, and they ensured that he got to Taiwan for medical care. And he went for medical care via Australia. He had to quarantine on the way there and on the way back. And for the months he was in transit in Australia, no Australian officials went to go talk to him about what was going on the ground in the Solomons. So this initial incident shows the brutality of the Chinese Communist Party's infiltration of the highest levels of government, the Solomon Islands, and the inaction on the part of Australia, and how people of moral courage are willing to fight for their own countries if they're given a chance.
The beginning of the episode suggests a health crisis that is solved thanks to Taipei's intervention. However, it quickly spins into something that surprised me: violence against supposed Chinese migrants who were running commercial enterprises in one of the islands, leading to violence, burning, and threats back and forth, and talk of China having to protect its nationals. How did we go from Sudani to that? And about that episode, when did it take place? My memory is vague on this, Cleo.
So that was in November. There are multiple kind of factors that came together. And another is that the Solomon Islands experienced a civil war. There are, as mentioned, a lot of different islands, and there are different kind of ethnic groups and tensions. And there's been an inequitable distribution of development. And the people of Malaita have felt that they were sort of pushed to the side for economic development. And the people of the island of Guadalcanal, which is where the capital is, felt like, you know, in the late 90s, there's an influx of people from Malaita who had come in for work. And there's kind of, you know, there's sort of domestic issues. And it had exploded into a civil war. And then they had the people of the Solomons themselves, those militias, those provincial governments, came together and signed a peace deal in 2000 called the Townsville Peace Agreement. And soon after that, there was an Australian-led peacekeeping force that came into the country and was there for about a decade and a half. It was there for a very long time. And during that time, the key element of the Townsville Peace Agreement, which was devolution of power, which would solve a lot of these core issues, was never put in place. And so when China came in and you had Malaita standing for itself, and a lot of these issues were reignited. And in November, it was the opening of Parliament. Parliament hadn't been sitting for a long time, partially because of COVID and other reasons. And so you had a big public demonstration on the opening day of Parliament in the capital, which included a lot of people from Malaita, who were objecting to the corruption, to the switch to China, to poor governance, all those sorts of issues. It was a peaceful demonstration, and then the police fired tear gas into the demonstration. And what I'm hearing is that it got very agitated, and then streets were blocked off, and they were sort of pushed towards Chinatown. And the outcome was that pretty much all of Chinatown, with the exception of one shop that was waving Taiwanese flags, got looted and burnt down. And part of it was opportunistic. But within days, the people of the capital were cleaning up the streets, and the mothers were forcing their sons to turn back the looted televisions. And, it was sort of sorting itself out. But politically, some of the politicians, it's a Westminster style parliamentary system, were peeling away from Sogavari and looking to have a vote of no confidence and to get rid of him. And the police had gone to Sogavari and said, "We think you should resign. This is just not, this is too wrong for the country." But the Australians decided to send in peacekeepers.
And that's where I came in again. The Australians dispatch a police force, and it's said to answer this disruption, so it won't happen again. And then the Chinese show up. Did that all happen together, or were those weeks apart?
They were weeks apart, but they were all part of the same thing. So the Australians got played. Sogavari asked in the Australians so that, I think, he could justify asking in the Chinese, and the Australians couldn't say anything about it.
I see. That makes a deal of sense, because when the Chinese envoy shows up, we then have what you'd say, you were identifying it as, this is a problem. Where's the U.S.? Where are the allies? And Scott Morrison, running for re-election, now has to answer all these questions. And from the timeline you just developed, Cleo, he doesn't have good answers.
He's not alone, though. I mean, this is two decades in the making. This is a bipartisan effort from every major Australian political party.
All right, let's turn to, we know what's gone wrong. What happens now? What can be done? The Chinese have shown up. There's a pact that may or may not be read by principals. I don't know. The headlines suggest not. We'll ask Cleo about that when we come back. Because Tokyo's worried, Canberra's worried, Washington's worried, Delhi's worried. That's enough. This is the crisis over the Solomons. Guadalcanal, 1942. Guadalcanal, 2022. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.